Now, last week we saw the great miracle that happened. The miracle, a man who was born crippled for 40 years. Actually, this man, when he was healed, he was 40 years. We will see that next Sunday. And he is miraculously healed by the name of Jesus Christ. And we saw that Peter gave a great sermon. And this miracle happened at the temple gates in the midst of thousands of people. And Peter and John were preaching to the great crowds. Then came the authorities. And here comes trouble. So we saw verse 1. The authorities came. The Sadducees, the priests, the captain of the temple, they all came. Verse 2 says, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So these authorities that they came, they were greatly disturbed. Why they were greatly disturbed? Because Peter and John, they were preaching in Jesus' name and the resurrection from the dead. They were preaching that Jesus has risen from the dead. And this man was healed by the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why were the authorities greatly disturbed? Why were they upset? Because they were guilty. Because they are the ones who sentenced Jesus to death. And they joined mocking of Jesus. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27, verse 40 to 43. Here we see the mocking, how they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40 says, and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And here they are mocking. Verse 41 says, likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Here, they mocked at him, they sentenced him to death. Now, they put a guard on the tomb, remember? And also, they put a big stone on the tomb because Jesus said that he is going to rise again. Yet, all the powers of darkness could not prevent the resurrection of our Lord. Jesus, our Master, he rose from the dead victoriously. Now, this miracle happened. It made it even worse because they are mad and they are guilty of putting Jesus to death. Now, we had to understand the Sadducees were there because they did not believe in any resurrection. Now, verse 3, let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So what they did was, they arrested them and put them in custody. Okay, they arrested. Why did they arrest? Because they were preaching in Jesus' name. And for what cause? Did they kill anybody? Did they do any damage to anybody? No. The man who was crippled for 40 years was healed. Something good happened. You know, in Christianity, all what is going to do is good happening. Yet, the people in the world, they are mad. They are mad. They are not mad at us. They are really mad at Jesus Christ. They cannot take the name of Jesus. And you're going to see more. Verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed. Peter preached the gospel and many of them believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Amazing. Now, before there were 3,000 who were saved. Remember? That was the first gospel that Peter preached the first time in Acts chapter 2. Now, Acts chapter 3, he preaches the same gospel, and now 5,000 are saved. So altogether, we got about 8,000 people who are saved now. You can see the growth of the church. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day, now the following day, that the rulers, elders, and the scribes, okay, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, this is not Apostle John, okay, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So there was a meeting here of the elders, the Jewish rulers, the authorities. They had a meeting. The meeting is what to do with John and Peter. This miracle cannot be denied because there were thousands of witnesses, so it cannot be denied. And so many witnesses. Then verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? So they want to know, they know it is a true healing. They know it's a miracle. They want to know, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Hey, it happened, a good deed, a good thing that happened to a helpless man. And everybody knows that. Then verse 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you. This is a stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. Now there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to the rulers, the people, and the elders of Israel, and he said, this man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus Christ, and whom you crucified, and you are the people, is the Jewish people, who rejected the stone, the cornerstone, that is Jesus Christ. And Peter is quoting here Psalm 118:12. Peter is filled with the power of the Spirit. He is answering directly. He is not cutting any edges. He is not sugarcoating the gospel. He is not compromising. He gives a direct answer. It's like an arrow going straight to their hearts. And he said, you crucified Jesus, but God raised him up. And Peter goes beyond the answer and says, he goes to the most important matter, saying, not only this crippled man was healed in Jesus' name, but salvation cannot be found in any other name under heaven, but only the name of Jesus Christ. Peter and John, their goal was to win souls, even to these God haters, the enemy of the gospel. Their goal was to win the Jewish rulers, win them, that convert them to Christ, just like how 3,000 were converted, just like another 5,000 were converted. Their goal was that they will come to know the Lord. Jesus already predicted all these things. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 21, Luke 21 verse 12. Before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings, rulers, for my name's sake. But It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. It's an occasion to witness. It is an occasion to testify the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus already said this. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2:10. And here, Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus. Do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days, but faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It's a promise of Jesus Christ. Peter preached the gospel to these Jewish rulers. It's the same gospel that Peter preached to the 3,000. See, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts 2:36. This is to the 3,000 who got saved. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. See verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, and which we are all witnesses. So Peter is preaching the crucifixion and the resurrection, the gospel. All right? 3,000 people got saved. See Acts chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, where 5,000 people got saved. 3:14 to 15. But you deny the Holy One and the just, and ask for a murderer to be granted to you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So it's the same gospel, all right? Now let's see Peter preaching the gospel to the Jewish rulers, the high priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers of the people of Israel, if this day, see verse 10, let it be known, you all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. How many times you saw Peter preaching, whom you crucified? Whom God raised from the dead. How many times we saw God raised him from the dead? So here, Peter is preaching not a different gospel to the Jewish leaders, rulers. It's the same gospel. There's only one gospel that we can preach. And we cannot preach the gospel to some people, one gospel, to another people, a different gospel, and to a, you know, to another person, totally a different gospel. No, the gospel is one. That's the gospel that was preached 2,000 years ago. It's the same gospel today. We cannot bend the gospel. We cannot sugarcoat the gospel. We cannot compromise the gospel. The gospel is the same. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, I'm going to go through some applications, okay? That's very, very important. A marvelous good thing happened. A man crippled was healed. However, the enemies of the gospel, the priests and the authorities, they got mad. They got ticked off. Satan and all his agents will come against the true servants of God. Battle between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom will continue until God will come and destroy the kingdom of darkness. Remember how the Israelite army, when they saw the Philistine champion, Goliath, they fled away from him because they were so scared. The shepherd boy, David, said to Saul, the king of Israel, your servant will go and fight the Philistine. King said to David, oh, you're only a boy. How can you fight him? Then, when David went against Goliath, Goliath saw that he was just a boy coming at him. And Goliath said, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And Goliath cursed David by his gods. But David said to Goliath, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. And he went on to say later that the battle is of the Lord's. Goliath was Satan's champion. Goliath, from the worldly perspective, was unbeatable because he was a giant. But David, the poor shepherd boy, was God's champion because David had faith that can move mountains. David put his trust in the Lord. His faith was able to bring the giant Goliath down. David's faith was not in himself, but in God himself. Jesus himself became the ultimate champion for us because he conquered death and he rose from the dead. Now imagine Peter. Just think about Peter. Think about Peter before and now. Before, at the crucifixion, when Jesus was taken to crucifixion, Peter was very fearful, scared, timid. He was a coward. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was scared of the authorities. He thought that, you know, he will be crucified too. He thought that he's going to get killed because they saw Peter was with Jesus and he was dead scared. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22:56. And a certain servant girl, this is when they were taking Jesus to the crucifixion, and a certain servant girl, seeing him, that is seeing Peter, as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. Saying, this man, Peter, was with Jesus. But he denied him. Peter denied Jesus, saying, woman, I do not know him. You see that? Woman, I do not know him. Now turn with me as chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all, to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Now you can see the change of Peter. He wants to make it known to all. Before he said, I do not know him. Now he says, I want to let it know to all the people whom you crucified, this Jesus. God raised him from the dead. And you can see Peter is facing the same authorities that put Jesus to death. But now Peter is a different Peter. He is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the comforter that comforts the Christians in time of trouble. Note very carefully, Peter and John, they are preaching the gospel boldly. So when the authorities came, they did not run, they did not hide. They met them face to face. And there was a heavenly boldness in speaking to them. And this boldness was not a prideful, arrogant boldness. It was a humble boldness. Our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he boldly went to the cross, yet he was humble. This boldness is different than the boldness that comes from the world. The boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit is humble, yet it is bold. Peter was not scared to witness because God promised that he will give them power, and we too have this power. We need to have a holy boldness, seeking after souls, praying for our loved ones, our friends who does not know the Lord, day and night, with tears, that they will receive salvation. Otherwise, they will go to hell, to the lake of fire. Jesus promised us heavenly power. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The power was promised. Note very carefully, you can never experience this power unless you witness. Because this power is given to witness. You see that? You shall be my witnesses. You shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses. God is not going to give you power for you to just simply stay at home and probably watch TV or gossip about things. No. God is not going to give you power for you to just to come once a week to Sunday church. But God has given power to witness. Witness. You can experience God's power if you witness. How many would pray asking God, God, give us power, but yet they do not want to witness? We are all called to be witnesses of Christ. And God always brings people in our lives so that we can witness. Now, witnessing cannot be done. I don't believe that we cannot witness according to a schedule, saying that, okay, let's go to witness between 2 and 3 is witness time. I don't think so. The reason is this. If you put witnessing for a schedule, all right, 2 and 3 is my witnessing time, then what about the other time when you meet people in the market, in school, on the street, or God will put people in your front? You say, oh no, this is not my witnessing time. It's finished. My witnessing time was between 2 and 3. That's wrong. We cannot put a witnessing time to a schedule because the apostles did not have a schedule to witness. God is the one who provided the opportunity, brought people in front of them, and they were bold enough to witness to them. That's how the early Christians witness. If you put witnessing time to a schedule, then it becomes a religious activity. Witnessing is a lifestyle. Witnessing to our friends when we meet, witnessing to people when we encounter, because God has sent those souls to us so that we can make friends, pray for them, and witness to them boldly. Remember, our God, He's going to be with us. You know, even though the whole world is going to be against us, God is going to be with us because God, nobody can separate us from the Lord. He is going to be with us even to the very end. He is the commander and chief in the universe, and that is our God. Just imagine what a big God you got. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is going to be with us even to the end. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's never going to leave us once we started witnessing. Not only we need to witness to people with the word of God, but our life should be a witness to them. Our conduct, our behavior should be a confirmation of the gospel. It's very important. Remember how God told Jonah to go and preach the gospel to that very wicked city, Nineveh. Jonah was scared to death. He was a coward because Jonah ran away from God. He told the people in the boat, remember how we want to get away, and there was a storm coming, and he told the people in the boat, pick me up and throw me into the sea. He would rather commit suicide than go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. However, Jonah got a second chance, right? When the second chance came, he walked with all boldness. Like a lion through the streets of Nineveh, he went through crying, saying, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. Repent. He preached repentance with boldness. Boldness. What is boldness? Boldness is to say yes to God. Boldness means you are not going to be ashamed of your love to Jesus Christ. In public, you are going to show that you are a Christian. That is boldness. Satan comes and tells all kinds of things to us, right? We want to be a Christian in public, and Satan will say, people will mock you. They will make fun out of you. You know, sometimes he doesn't want even to take your Bible to church, because your neighbors, your friends will see you're a Christian. You know, Satan wants to put fear in us. I remember my missionary experience first time. You know, I came to a very poor area, and people are poor, and I had to come down to their level, and I got to take my Bible. You know, a lot of times I get, you know, Satan puts this fear in me. And also he puts, oh, people will, what if you take your Bible? They will mock at you. They will say things at you. But I was not scared, because I cannot deny my master who died for me. How can I be ashamed? Otherwise, God will not use me. So I had to trust in him. You see, you had to trust in Jesus Christ, and you had to follow what he did. How many times people, you know, among Christians, people will pray before they eat, because we are Christians, no problem. But how many times when you get together with your friends outside who are not Christians, you're shy. You don't want even to pray. You don't want even to show that you're a Christian. You're ashamed. Why are you so ashamed to say that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We cannot be ashamed of him. If you're ashamed to witness and to show that you're Christian to the world, then Christ is going to be ashamed of you. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus is saying, if we are going to be ashamed of him in this adulterous, sinful generation, that means we are living among wicked people, if we are going to be ashamed of him to the public, then he is not going to come to us. He's going to be ashamed of us. So that's what he's saying here. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." See, we need to overcome the powers of temptation that Satan puts in us. This fear that Satan put in us, these dreadful things that Satan put in us, we have to overcome. And we need to trust in Jesus. If we confess Jesus, if we are not ashamed of Jesus, Jesus is going to confess our name before the Father and before the holy angels. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Turn with me, also see Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." See that? We should not deny the name of Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed of his name. Peter had boldness. Boldness in what? Boldness because he was filled in the Spirit. He was not filled in a worldly spirit. He was filled in the Holy Spirit. That means holiness. Being holy. Not engaged in sinful pleasures of this world. Cannot bring boldness. It's total devotion. love and a separation from the world to the Lord. It's not entertaining and the delights of this world. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is not a worldly spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. And the result is boldness, and not just boldness, but a holy boldness. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gives you boldness. We need to be holy by reading and studying the Word of God, because it's the holy Word of God we read. It's not just another word. We need to have a holy time of prayer, that communicating with God. It's not just talking to somebody else. It's a holy time. That means a time that has been separated unto God. It's the same way the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. So Holy Spirit cannot live with us if we are unclean with sinfulness and wickedness and those sins that is a distraction and a sin that is an obstacle to follow God. So boldness is to say no to sin, no to worldliness. Boldness is to say no to worldly entertainment. Satan will bring all kinds of temptations, but we are to avoid every appearance of sin. Paul said, be not conformed to this world. We need to stand up to the truth. Now, remember Polycarp? I had told the story of Polycarp before. He was a disciple of Apostle John. Polycarp was arrested because he was a Christian. He was a Christian bishop. Polycarp was under the gun, means he was under pressure. Roman proconsul took pity on Polycarp because he was about 86 years old, and he urged Polycarp to say, "Caesar is Lord." And if only Polycarp would say, "Caesar is Lord," he would escape torture and death. But Polycarp said, no. He said, this is what Polycarp said, 86 years I have served Christ, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Polycarp was burned to death. Polycarp stood up for Jesus Christ. He refused to compromise his beliefs, and he was burned alive. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. I want to show you another story here. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, now this is Jesus speaking, "These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells." Who was Antipas? Unknown character. Well, but God knows him. Jesus said he was my faithful martyr. Jesus knows all the people who did not deny his name under pressure, who was not ashamed for him under pressure. Jesus knows everybody. But who was Antipas? Antipas, according to tradition, he was ordained by Apostle John in Pergamos as a bishop, and he was a faithful witness of Jesus Christ. He was fearless and bold. And there was a saying, they said to Antipas, "Antipas, the whole world is against you." And Antipas said, "Then I am against the whole world, because I am for Christ." Antipas, you know how they killed Antipas? He was roasted alive. They put him to death, he was roasted alive. Jesus remembered that. He put in Revelation, "Antipas was my faithful martyr," because Antipas was not ashamed to proclaim Jesus. Antipas did not deny the name of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, what about today? We are not living in the time of Antipas. We are living not in the time of persecution. We are living in the time where we can preach the gospel. Those days you couldn't preach the gospel because if you did, you will be persecuted and you will be killed. But today we are living in the times where we can preach the gospel. But yet we are dead scared to talk to somebody. Jesus said, I'm coming to those who are not going to be ashamed of. We as a church, we need to renew our minds. We need to fill in the power of the Spirit. And we need to witness to those God puts in our path. Because the opportunities are there and we need to win these souls to the Lord. Then you'll be blessed. You will be able to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, I never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit when during my time in the missionary field. When I started witnessing, talking to the people, I realized, this is not me. It's the Lord who is using me. I saw the power of God working through me. I was able to work tirelessly, sometimes very tirelessly, because it is God who gave that power. And you too can experience that power. And that's the greatest blessing that you can experience. Let me close with this scripture, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Plural, to the churches. Jesus is speaking to the churches. He is knocking at the door. He is knocking on the heart of your door. And if you hear his voice, do not close the door. Open the door that you can have an intimate relationship with him. It's a holy relationship. It's not a worldly relationship. It's a relationship that you can have through the power with this word of God and through prayer and communion with him. Then you can have fellowship with him. And he says, now Satan will bring all these temptations, but you need to overcome those temptations. And then once you overcome those temptations, those worldly desires, the worldly passions, okay, Satan wants you to deny Jesus, be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't get scared of people. Because God, your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the commander and the chief, the governor of the universe. And why you should be scared of him? If he paid the penalty for your sins, rose from the dead, we should not be scared of anybody. And Jesus said, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. One day, he will allow you to sit on his throne together with him. And these are promises given to the saints of God. And we had to look and trust in these promises, not on the premises and the worldliness that Satan promises you. So, beloved, my brothers and sisters, stand up for the truth. Don't be shy in witnessing, because God is going to bless you. Let's pray.